safest. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around. Io's house
in the middle of our street.
Io's house
in the middle of
Isle's House, episode whatever. The Islanders are good again. And before we get into the latest news and the latest rumors, we got to take care of the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow the pod at Isle's House. Follow me at EthanGSN. Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy. Jack at Isle's Den. Producer Greeny at eGreenberg99. Subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts. That's probably iTunes and Spotify, and we're on both. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Gentlemen, the Islanders might be slightly, somewhat, a little bit back. How are we doing?
Doing good. Trying to gauge where I am on the back meter, but, you know, doing good. Happy with the run. No matter how you feel, if you're in tank mode or winning mode, it always feels good to have a win streak. So, happy.
Yeah, the 5-game winning streak, it started against San Jose, then Columbus. And, you know, all season, one of my good friends, his name is Ben. He's been dying for me to go to a game with him. He's invited me a bunch of times, but I don't know. I just was having trouble because, you know, he invited me for a Saturday night. Saturday nights are pretty sacred, but him and I also traveled down to Raleigh with a bunch of my friends for those two playoff series the last 2 years. We're 0-4 in Raleigh. So we took our chance and we went against the Hurricanes this Saturday. And them winning that game was just amazing. How they did it, down 2-0, coming back against that team. Tony DeAngelo made his debut. It was a well-spent Saturday night. And then Monday, yesterday, beating the Avalanche, another great game. Made another trip to UBS, thanks to Ben. And, yeah, now we're at 5 in a row. So shout-out to Ben, and I am very happy right now.
Yeah, we're going to have to send Jack and Ben to a few more games. Jack, I'm going to be totally honest with you. You were yapping just now. You landed the plane, though. You landed the plane. So kudos to you. And speaking of the Saturday night game, let me just say, shout out to David and Marcy, because the whole picture is now complete. It makes sense, Jack, why you are such a mensch. It was a pleasure to meet your parents and to see you and your friend Ben. What a night.
What a night it was.
What a night it was. All right. So I figure let's let Jack continue his little victory lap. Before we get into whether or not the Islanders are back, I figure these two players played a very important role in us answering this question. And Jack, why don't you speak on Tony DeAngelo and your boy Scott Perunovich for a minute?
Yeah, I'll take it back one step. When Dobson came out, obviously, like, you never wish injury upon a player, but my goodness, watching him this season has been like watching paint dry. This guy is just not playing well, and it's just been a brutal watch, especially because there's a lot of people telling me he's really good, and I don't know. It's just been trouble for me watching him. So when he comes out, obviously not ideal. He still plays the most minutes on our team. And then we have Pulak go down, and now we're signing Tony DeAngelo, which I liked that mainly because I know the guy could run a power play, and he hasn't ran our power play efficiently just yet. I mean, he didn't even get a chance last night, but I thought it looked better against Carolina. And I just like that we have a defenseman that is so confident in moving the puck, skating it through the zones. Like, I just feel good when he has the puck, and I'm sure we're going to see some of the deficiencies in his defensive game as we keep having more games to watch. So good start for him. As for Perunovich, I do like watching the Blues only because I'm a big fan of Jordan Binnington, as we've labeled on this podcast.
And Jordan Kyrou.
I enjoy watching Jordan that team. Probably more than some of their fans based on what I've read over the last few days, but I had some knowledge of Scott Perunovich from watching them play. And I don't know, he just kind of caught my eye because he was just such a good – I thought he was a really good skater, and I just saw some offensive ability in him also. He's a little bit undersized, but for a fifth-round pick, I thought that was a fantastic pickup. I mean, now we have a 26-year-old defenseman on a tryout with this team for the next 3 months, and he's going to be given all the opportunity he needs to showcase what he has. So, love both of those pickups, and both of them dropped a point last night, which was just the cherry on top. Great to see. So I'm curious to see more from them, but definitely promising results so far.
Yeah, so I thought I've actually been really, really impressed with Tony D. I thought there would still be, I know he's been playing in the KHL this year and whatnot. I don't know how long, Jack, maybe you know how long he's been out, like how long it's been since he went from the KHL and then ended up signing with us. A couple of weeks, probably, right?
Yeah, I
Think it
think
was like
he
seven, 17 days, I seven.
think,
Oh,
is
that's
what
it.
I
I thought it
read.
might have been a little
Oh, my
longer than
bad.
that. But yeah, I thought he might have came in and been a little rusty, just a guy learning a new structure and whatnot. But he came right in. He's snapping outlet passes. He's hitting guys. It's actually impressive. And it's and Perunovic, he's only played the one game. I thought he looked solid. Jack gave us a great review of him in the group chat. I feel like we got the whole Wikipedia in the matter of seconds on Perunovic. Jack was on it.
It was a little scary.
It was a little scary, but you know, he defended himself. He's a
But he was 100% right about everything.
he has a Blues Den burner
There we
somewhere,
go.
we think. So, you know, it's the nice part about these two acquisitions is it's the type of defender we don't really have group. Like that dynamic, puck moving, quarterback, the power play type guy, even if they're not great defensively, it's okay to have a couple guys like this. I think Ethan said it, like a Vezinovsky type guy. We need a few like that. So, you know, it's been pretty refreshing. And I agree with Jack, we'll probably see why they were available in the matter
Yeah.
of games, and they'll make a couple mistakes here and there. But for right now, it's fun. It's a change, and it appears to have under their ass. So I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, big fan of the Tony D signing in a vacuum. I will say, and I know that there are going to be some people listening to this who are going to absolutely hate this, but I don't care, and I'm going to say it anyway. I'm glad that Tony D came in and immediately made an impact and made his presence felt, because I know for very political reasons and unfounded rumor reasons that if he had come in and looked like hot ass, even just for one game, the jokes would have been flying and everyone would have been clowning the Islanders and whatever. So I'm glad that he came in right out of the gates and was a breath of fresh air. I've been saying this probably for close to 2 years about Noah Dobson. First, and I think it's just because with the Islanders, the bar is the floor. He is not a puck moving defenseman. He is not a guy that you feel comfortable just going behind his own net, taking the like we I mean we just watched Cale Makar, right? And I'm not even saying he's got to be elite to that extent, but I'm talking about that style of play. He is not that. He's never been that, and he will never be that. And I think a big problem with Dobson's game, both offensively and defensively, is his confidence level. And I forget who said it, whether it was Jack or Rocco. Tony D plays with confidence. He skates with confidence. He passes with confidence. And I genuinely think it sounds super corny, but I guarantee you, if you ask the guy, he'd probably agree with it. That confidence has very evidently, in my opinion, rubbed off on Alex Romanov, who has played probably his best stretch of games as a New York Islander during this 5-game win streak. He is providing offense. I think he's got like 11 points in his last 13 games. He's laying big hits at a much more consistent rate than I was clowning him for previously. I think before I was saying, oh, what, he's going to put up 1 point every 3 months and a big hit once a month. No, I was wrong. And I tweeted it out. Greeny, what do we say? What's the saying? The best ability is
Is
accountability.
accountability.
Accountability. So hand up, I was wrong about Noah Dobson. I thought he was atrocious. He is worse than atrocious. And I thought Alex Romanov was bad and was not worth the hype that Islanders fans were giving him. And I was wrong. Noah Dobson was bringing him down, and he is finally unleashed with Tony DeAngelo, and it is a pleasure to watch.
He was toiling away
He was
with
toiling
Noah
away
Johnson.
with Noah Slobson, and he is finally unleashed.
And
I
I
don't
do.
want to.
Go ahead, Jack.
I don't want to like crap on Dobson too much. But the main difference with those two, like why I'm harder on one than the other is I feel like Romanov, you see development and you see improvement at times.
An
With
F
Dobson, I
complete
feel like
effort.
with Dobson, I feel like I've watched the same thing for 2 or 3 years, and that's like why I get frustrated with him more. But I'll let you go.
And I think, and to your point, Jack, I think why you get frustrated with him too, and much to what Ethan said, obviously he's not Makar. Makar's a 101, but we can't even ask him to be an Evan Bouchard, who's great offensively and plays very little defense. You can't even rely on him for that. And I believe we did say on this pod that when Noah went down, it was going to be a very interesting stretch to see how the boys played without him. And I'll tell you one thing, it's not really looking good for Noah because they look. The game against Colorado was probably the most enjoyable game I've watched this season. I'm not Colorado played well too, and they just found a way.
In my opinion, Colorado outplayed him. I thought that was prime Trotz hockey.
I
Just keep
was
it to the
just going to
outside.
quote your tweet from last night. I think you said something about them playing Trotz hockey, and it was very much that. They found a way to score goals. Horvat had that greasy one late where he's just camped out in front. The puck find, nice pass, I believe. I forget from who, but he finishes it right in front to create the gap. And I'll say this too, because I got a text from my friend when it was 3-2, and he was saying, oh, here we go again. They're going to come back. And I don't know why, but for some reason, I never felt that way last night. It was 3-2, and I still said in my head, the Islanders are winning this game. It just had that vibe. It was a Trotz vibe, as you said. And maybe they're turning a corner. Maybe it's just a small hot spurt that goes away, but it's fun to watch, man. And you got to give these guys that jump in credit. And another guy we don't mention enough on this pod is Gakpo. The fourth line's been different since he's gotten there.
It
Who
has. Did you
they
see the
run out
Steph
last night? It was
article?
Gakpo, McLean, and Siplikov, I think.
Yes, Engvall came
Stop.
out for
Very
Tsiplikov this past
solid.
game.
Very solid. The fourth
Did
line,
you?
the bottom six has been an issue. And I feel like since Gakpo's come up, he's been a nice piece to just like regulate everything down there. And it's looked
Yeah,
good.
Greeny, go ahead.
Did you?
I know exactly the piece you're gonna
Yeah.
quote.
So Steph came out with an article. I think he was talking to Matt Barzell about like why the team has been playing more physical. And the first thing that Barzell said was like, Gakpo. Instantly. He's like, he is being physical. And honestly, when I read that this morning, the first person I thought of was Jack, because he's always talking about, oh, well, we got to drop the gloves. We got to get physical. We got to get nasty. Matt, He's got them going. that's what Matt Martin's going to do. Well, okay. So like Mark Gatcombe is doing everything that we thought Matt Martin was going to be doing when they brought him
Well, he's
back,
like a
when
he's a younger version,
like
essentially.
he's a younger version. But I literally thought of like, I'm like, yeah, I'm sure Jack is really, really happy about this because we're Yeah,
being
I love
super
watching that
physical.
guy.
I
Love
mean,
it.
it's actually a joy to watch, and he's playing with a sense of urgency, which I think has permeated through the rest of the team. They look awake for the first time in months.
Yeah, and
And
it changes how the other
Sizikas
team
too.
plays too. You think when Cale Makar gets knocked his ass center ice by Romanov, that doesn't change the game a little bit? That
Oh
doesn't
yeah.
give a thought in Makar's head that, you know what, maybe I can't just figure skate through the neutral zone here. I got to have my head up the whole time.
God, that hit
It's
was
big.
beautiful.
Perfect hit too.
Yeah.
Nice and clean.
I will say, because this is gonna spark some debate, big kudos to Ilya Sorokin.
Ooh.
They are going to have to ride him, and we have to hope that he keeps playing like, well, depends on your stance, but for those who want to see the Islanders win, you're gonna hope that he keeps this up. Now, a couple things. One, just to put a bow on Tony D'Angelo and Scott Perunovich. One of my biggest issues with the Islanders' defense over the last year and a half has been the lack of offense. I'm okay with the defensive slip-ups and the missed assignments if you're able to put up points and at least drive play the other way. The Islanders' defensive unit has not been able to do that. So even if guys like Tony D and Scott Perunovich have their slip-ups and their missed assignments, and you're like, ah, that was bad. He should have had that. We've been watching that with the Islanders' defensive unit for the last year and a half. So at least these guys are here to provide a little bit of offense. So I'm not going to get too upset over some of the defensive slip-ups. Now, real quick, let's do some injury news. Pulock, it's not good. I think everyone knew it was not good. He didn't come back to the game. fairly long term. Again, I'm trying to be a little bit careful with.
By the way, that was pretty. Was that a dirty play by Jason Blake's
I don't think
son?
so. I don't think
maybe, but I don't know.
it was an accident. I mean, a slew
Yeah.
foot never looks good, but the one the game before on Scotty, I thought was much worse than the Jackson Blake one,
Yeah.
which didn't result in an injury, thankfully.
But you know what? What else? I've heard it's a shoulder, so and it's not good. So we'll
You
see what
have
happens.
maybe not an exact time frame, but Ethan, do you think maybe is it season ending? Do you see him coming back before the season? I know it could be up in the air based off how they're going to
I don't
treat it.
know. My from what I was told, my best guess is like,
End of year.
yeah, if they're like in it,
Post deadline?
yeah, oh yeah.
Post deadline. So,
Yes.
end deadline is March 7th for those listening. So, we could safely say post deadline.
Yeah. So that's that. Hogberg.
Oh,
That
God.
I'm a little bit more bullish on. I believe he will be back post Four Nations. So the Islanders need to ride Ilya through this stretch of games against some elite teams, just get to Four Nations. That's the goal. If you are a believer in this team can make a run, I don't want to trade Brock Nelson, I want them to win, then you need to be the biggest Ilya Sorokin fan in the world until the end of Four Nations so that we can finally ride the hog again.
And I do
So,
think they have a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday, right?
and I believe Ilya will be starting both
Right.
because who'd they call up? Skarik?
Yeah,
Yeah.
who's
Scary.
woof.
Yeah,
Who I don't think is to be
Skarik.
trusted.
Scary as hell, man. God.
That's
Scary.
good. That's good, Jack. So, all right. We touched on Tony and
One
Perunovic.
more. What the hell? Like, you're talking about Hogberg after Four Nations. Is Varlamov just done?
Yeah.
Wow, that's such a
Like done, done. Like, I don't know for certain done,
you
but
just know it's not good.
it's not good.
Is there a
Like,
chance that,
Hogberg
like,
is the backup for the foreseeable
I
future
think
type?
so.
Yeah,
Like,
sometimes these players
yeah.
come back kind of out of nowhere. Like, you don't think it might be out of nowhere. Varley's just like on the ice one day.
He is
Doubt it.
skating, I think, but he's skating on his own and he's skating, obviously, for
This
good reason. They
sucks.
want no one. You know, in contact with him and whatnot. So,
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting bad vibes about it.
that's not good to hear, but at least Sorokin's been fantastic recently.
Yeah.
He's 4-0 in his last four. I think I tweeted out the stats before. The numbers have just been insane. And also, his positional play has been fantastic. There were some shots last night where he was just always in the right spot. And like, that's what you love to see from him.
That McKinnon save too, making that save, no rebound. That was
Oh
sick.
man, yeah, he's been dialed in
I
different
think,
recently.
correct me if I'm wrong, but I truly think he's the type of goalie when there's like when they tr really have to ride him, like they can't depend on the guy behind him. I almost think he's better. It's like this weird thing where he
Well, right
has
now
to.
he's so confident. Like it's he there's a different feel when he's in
Yeah,
net right
no,
now.
the positioning, I think, for the most part this season has been there, but he's like doesn't have that leakiness he has at times. I think we've all witnessed that where it's that random goal that just sneaks in and you're wondering how it even went in the net. Like he doesn't have that and the positioning's been there and he still has that superstar side to side big save in him too. So it's really been on all cylinders as of late.
Are we getting an apology soon, Jack?
Oof.
It's not an apology, but I'm trying to kind of I'm
Rob
trying
Todd put you in
to
your place. Yeah. Yeah,
no,
he did. Yeah.
what Taub did, it made me want to
Sad then.
restart. Let's restart. Let's forget about the blown games in Carolina 2 years ago. Let's forget
This
about the
sounds like an
playoffs last
unhealthy
year.
relationship you're
No,
in. Like,
let's just
let's
restart.
forget about the
It is.
past,
It
forget the
is. It's.
college years.
I mean, I wouldn't call it the healthiest, but we're just gonna restart, and we're just gonna restart, and we restarted like 3 days ago, and it's been insane. So we're gonna keep it that way.
Well,
Okay.
you only just started rewatching Islander games, right? Like you took like a week and a half off,
I did
something
take
like
some time
that.
off. Yeah.
I was watching
And
Perunovic in the meantime.
exactly. I don't think they've lost since you've been back, Jack. So it might actually be you.
That's true. They've won three straight, and both games I've been at, they've won, which is miraculous too.
So, the big question, are the Islanders back?
Are we all going to answer this one?
I have
We
such
all have. They're not
cautious.
back. They're absolutely not back.
I have
Jack.
such cautious optimism, and I meant to say this with D'Angelo before, and like not really so much Perunovic. Like I know who he is, but D'Angelo, like you just there's just regression is just so inevitable with like so much going on right now that it makes me cautious. But if they can kind of stay hot before. All the way up to the Four Nations. Not, I mean, win every game, but they could put together a nice little stretch. Then, you have those few weeks off. These guys, they're pretty old. They'll do pretty well with that time off. They'll come back. And I think if they get to the Four Nations and they're still functioning at this level, then yeah, they're probably back. Need more.
I think they're back to the mushy middle and not in the basement type thing, like back to fighting for their lives for a wild card spot, if that's back. Back to the last couple of years of Islanders, which, one could argue might be the worst place to be long term, but I think there are a couple, like let's say this win streak goes 2, 3 more games, they're right in the thick of it and they're not beneath a ton of teams anymore, and you jump a couple teams and they could really
Teams are
fight for it.
collapsing.
And we know if they're in that mix, Lou is probably not selling. So it's going to get real interesting here soon. So I would say back to where they were,
Yeah.
not all the way back.
I'll keep my answer short. Rocco, I agree with you, but I think you bringing up selling is probably a good transition to the Bucci bomb on ESPN Tuesday evening against the Colorado Avalanche. So, do you want to let us know what Bucci said? And we can also review what Emily Kaplan said.
Sure. So basically, what Bucci said is that it is the worst kept secret in hockey that Brock Nelson eventually wants to land in Minnesota with the Wild after he was selected for Team USA for Four Nations by Team USA GM Bill Guerin, who is also Minnesota Wild's GM and a former Islander. Just little input on that. And, it was interesting. And I think it's Bucci just speculating and having a little fun more than anything. I mean, a couple days prior, he was speculating about how the Columbus Blue Jackets should trade and extend Brock. So I think it's possible. Like, I think it's very possible that if he hits free agency, he goes to the Wild, whatnot. And I think it's very possible that he doesn't re-sign here. But when I first saw it on Twitter, I actually reread it a few times because I heard this exact thing about Brock Besser, not Brock Nelson, which is interesting because someone I trust basically had mentioned to me a couple times that, Besser is kind of has his eyes set on the Wild. And if Besser has his eyes set on the Wild and Nelson, like they can't all have their eyes set on the Wild. There's only so much money to go around and there's so much business to be had and so many moving parts. So I think to say he's going to the Wild right now at game 50 of the year is a little premature because there's so many moving parts and so many things that could happen. But I don't think it's basically what I'm trying to get at is I don't think it's an exact thing that Brock will end up with the Wild, but I do think there's maybe legs there that if Brock had his choice of 3 to 4 teams, the Wild would certainly be on that list.
What did Emily Kaplan say anything? I didn't obviously watch the telecast.
She basically, she, I didn't watch the, I didn't see this point of the telecast because I was just getting home from work. But I saw on Twitter and someone texted it to me that she basically said that league execs expect the Islanders to be sellers.
Okay.
Does
Interesting. And
ESPN she's
ever
legit.
get anything right?
She
Emily
does. Emily
Kaplan
Kaplan's
is,
legit. Emily
yeah.
Kaplan's legit. Bucci, I'm not saying Bucci's not legit, but as far as reporting, and like having to put your name, like Bucci could just say it off the cuff and then he's calling the next game the next night. Like that's what Emily Kaplan does. So if Emily Kaplan's saying she's hearing it, she's not just saying it to say it. She's heard it.
No,
Pretty strong
I
words too.
like I like Emily Kaplan. I think she's good at what she does. I personally cannot stand John Butchergross.
Well, he also went to Borelli's ahead of CDV, which was kind of fucked up.
Yeah, but. I mean, like that. I mean, that should tell you all about his judgment. But I mean, like, it's completely ridiculous. He's the worst. He's like the king of cliches at ESPN. He has never broken anything in his life. He's terrible at everything that he does. I don't think he really knows anything. Great. That's fantastic. He's a good golfer. I don't take, like, when I heard that on the broadcast, I don't think that's anything legitimate, to be honest with you. I think that's just him kind of talking out of his ass. But if Emily Kaplan is reporting something, I do respect what she does. I actually just didn't hear that. Did she tweet that, or did she say it on the broadcast?
I think she said it during the I want to say the first intermission. I didn't, like I said, I didn't hear it or see a video. I saw a quote.
Yeah. My thoughts on the matter. Brock Nelson has 6 points in the last 5 games, and he is still only on pace for 53 points. So,
most importantly.
So, my thoughts on the matter haven't changed, except for maybe you use the assets that you get for him to flip for a longer term piece for this team. That's about it. I'm still pro trading Brock Nelson. I think, again, you have a group of guys that have been here forever. They were here, green to get ready, bleep this. They were here through the drama. They understand the impact that them leaving for nothing could have on the fan base. Obviously, to a lesser extent for Brock Nelson, I feel like fans would be much more appreciative of his contributions given the length of his tenure here. But you absolutely, under no circumstances, can let this guy leave for nothing if he does not give you a commitment. And I texted this to Rocco, and again, I feel like this needs to be spoken out, because if I put this in a tweet, because I don't pay for Elon's former Bird app, I can't really expound on my thoughts, but I'll do it here. If you're not going to trade him, the only logical thing to do is to extend him. Now, I don't want to extend him. I want to trade him. But you just can't lose him for nothing. Either you're here for another 3 years at a very team-friendly hit, and next year, God willing, he's just the 3C, or he's riding shotgun on line two for goal-scoring purposes. But if you're not going to trade him, you have to extend him. Like, that's the logic. You can't just let him walk for nothing. So we'll see what Lou does.
But that's where you'd hope a GM like Lou Lamoriello would handle it much better than a GM like Garth Snow.
Well, yeah.
Where when it comes to you have to have these discussions now, so you build it up towards the deadline. Because if you're Lou Lamoriello and you want to extend Brock, it takes two to tango, right? So I think Lou knows. And that's, Ethan, I think we said it to each other via text earlier. Like, that's one thing I think Lou will actually handle well. For everyone loving to shit on Lou and he's old and he does this and he doesn't change, yada, yada. I think when it comes to this sort of thing, if a player like Brock Nelson approaches him and says, listen, I'm not re-signing. It's nothing against you. I appreciate my time here, but I'm this age. I want to be in a different location. I want a better shot at winning. I think Lou would accommodate him pretty quickly if that was the conversation. And I think that's probably why this buzz is going on around the league, is because maybe people are getting wind of Brock not necessarily wanting to resign here, which would be fair. And I wouldn't be upset with him at all.
I agree. Because I understand entirely it. With that take. I mean, there's absolutely dialogue ongoing between Brock's camp and the Islanders. I think you'd be dumb to assume otherwise. When Lou Lamoriello publicly states at the beginning of the season with regards to Nelson and Palmieri that we are not going to worry about contract extensions now, how do you think that feels as regression candidates who are 33 and 34 years old? Probably not great. So, especially approaching the deadline with where the Islanders were literally just 2 weeks ago, I have a feeling that both parties know what the other wants. And yes. I genuinely believe it's either going to be a trade or an extension.
I have a question for you
Go
guys.
ahead.
Brock is going to be 34 at the start of next season. What is the unreasonable term that you would walk away from if you speak to him? Because I don't think Lou's going to sell at this point. And if Brock says, I'm only taking a 3 or 4 year contract, are we accepting that? Or even if it's more than that?
So we're talking about as the Islanders, not any team, correct? Because
Correct.
my answer
As
would
the
be different as the
Islanders.
Islanders versus like a contender ready to win.
I'm only asking because the way
Three
this is
max, I think.
going, I don't see them bringing him
Three
back.
max,
And
and if it's anything more than 6 million, I freak out.
so if Brock wants a 5 year deal at age 34, you're telling him absolutely not.
Fuck off,
No,
dude.
no. But what I'm saying too is that's why I was asking it whether it's an Islander perspective or like a Colorado Avalanche perspective. Because if you're the Colorado Avalanche and you can give him a five and it brings the AAV down, maybe it's more interesting because you say, you know what, our other guys can pick him up in years 4 and 5 and it won't be that big of a deal and we want to save some cap. But if you're the Islanders and you need to bring in some firepower, you can't be hooked to this guy for 3, 4, 5 years. As much as we love him and appreciate him, and we were talking about, you know, the Islanders Hall of Fame the other day, like who would get their name up there next? Like, if you look at his numbers, like he could be a candidate for that, especially if he was to stay. Like, if he stayed 3, 4 more years, he might almost be a lock to be that eventually. But it just feels like the time has come and it's finally time for Lou to not say, oh, let's give this a little more time. He has to make a decision on these guys. And Nelson, along with Palmieri, both of them. They're both
The
around the
only,
same age.
let me add some context here, just real quick.
Yeah.
And
this is just based on some conversations that I've had over the last few weeks. I don't think my take a couple episodes ago about Lou believing that he would be in charge of a retool in the next 2 years, I don't think that that's so crazy.
No, I don't think so either. And I think you and I discussed, Ethan, the idea of if he does do the right thing here, would it be somewhat fair to give him a shot next year, as in Lou? Like if he was
Oh,
to sell
please
Brock,
no.
just hear me
Ugh.
out. If he was to sell these guys and has these assets, you know, I'm not saying everyone would love it, but I wouldn't be shocked if they just say, you know what, you got one more year on your contract. You know, we'll get a, you know, the person who comes after you in line, and you just stay the 1 year and go from there. Because I don't know, I could just see it. Because if he gets solid returns on these guys, maybe I'm one of the very few. But as crazy as it sounds, like I wouldn't be that upset if he did the right thing,
But do you
which is
think he's
obviously
going
a
to do
big
the right
factor.
thing?
I
Like
think it
that's the
depends on where they
question.
are. If he sells him, I think it would be the right thing. I think if he's re-signing these guys, whatever else, I'd be more pissed off, even though I would get it versus letting him walk. But if he was to actually bite the bullet and swallow some of his pride and say, you know what, this core isn't it, it needs a shakeup, I would appreciate it more and be a bit more accepting. I wouldn't be over the moon, but I would be more accepting of the possibility.
But is it wrong to think, and like ever since Ethan said that a couple episodes ago, I think was when it was, like the more I kept thinking, like, am I going to judge Lou's decisions on this deadline in the context of does he know about his job security? Where if he's going to behave this deadline and keep certain guys, especially if they keep winning, or if he's going to behave this deadline where he gets rid of guys and recoups assets for the near future, am I going to look at that and be like, he's doing this because I know he's staying and I know he knows he's staying? Because I'm going to judge things differently based on if Lou thinks he's going
Here's
to
what
be
I
here
think.
for the rebuild.
Here's what I think.
Retool.
Retool, whatever we want to call it.
No, yeah, I know.
I think every assumption that we have from now until the trade deadline has to be also with the assumption that Lou is going to be the GM next year.
So
That's what
that's
I think.
how we want to go forward, is that every transaction we're just going to think he's doing this knowing he's coming back.
I think until proven otherwise, that's how we have to
until
operate.
There's like a rip the band-aid off type moment. That's how you're thinking on it.
I think that's fair.
My opinion with Lou, honestly, I actually love what he's done over the last like week or two, but what tells me if he still has it all depends on something else, and it's all on Noah Dobson. That's how I will know if it's time for him to go. Like, if he signs Noah Dobson to a long-term contract, paying him number one defenseman type money, he needed to be fired before that. Like that I really don't want to see that happen. And I'm not
what
saying
if it's a
like
bridge?
You can't. No, that's fine. That's fine. I'm saying if you pay him a reasonable salary, like I think I cap it at like six and a half. Like if you go to seven, if you go to 7.5, I'll be pissed. If you go to 8, you're gone, buddy. Like you're completely gone. And with Nelson also, this was mentioned like a few minutes ago already, but we compared him to Bleep, but I don't think Nelson's had like a media parade with, you know, with like walking around saying, yeah, like I would love to stay. Like I'm a New York Islander. Like he hasn't done that bullshit, man. Like if he stayed and then left in free agency, the reception would be a lot different, I think. But ultimately, to the first question, I think he needs to be traded and it sucks. Like, yeah, the team's on a 5-game winning streak. I don't want to say that right now. I don't want to think of selling, but yeah, like it's what you have to do. Unfortunately, you've put yourself in this position and what are you going to do? Like keep him and let him walk for nothing? That's just bad business. And what I think is going to happen though, like I just really don't know. I wish I had an answer, but the Butchie comment of that the worst kept secret is that he wants to go to Minnesota. That's a strong statement. That's not like, yeah, I'm hearing that he might want to go there. Like, no,
I'm telling you, he might have confused his Brocks. I'm not even kidding. Like when I read, like the more I think about it and when I read it, I think he might have confused them. I'm not even kidding.
Okay.
Yeah, but we've heard that too, Rocco. Like we've heard, you know,
the Besser stuff.
No, the Nelson stuff. Like he still goes to Minnesota every summer.
No,
yeah, he still keeps a residence there. So
no, yeah, it had, yeah, it would line up, but I just think it was a little bit of a like it's different. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but like it's different with Nelson, a guy that's been in one place his whole career and super quiet and whatever else. Like I'm sure once Nelson got word of that getting out, he was probably not happy at all because he seems to be a very quiet to himself guy. So I'm sure he doesn't love it. And Jack made a good point of he never really said anything to the media about like, I want to be here forever, this and that.
Yeah, he's not bullshitting anyone.
Right. And like with Steph's one-on-one, I think we talked about it on the pod that he literally didn't say that once. He had like plenty of opportunities to pull the, you know, this is the only place I've been. I don't want to leave. My family's here, yada, yada, this and that. Whether it was lip service or not, he could have pulled that and he did not. So I found that to be very interesting.
What about Palmieri?
I think Palmieri's going to go. I mean, I hate to shit on the guy, but if they traded Palmieri, I don't think they'd really feel a difference right now. He's been playing so poorly.
Can we sign him?
They also wouldn't get anything.
Like, could we re-sign him
get
to like
a second,
third
maybe?
Liner? It's like a third liner contract now. I mean,
but why would you, Jack? Washed. Get someone younger. He takes maintenance days a good bit. Like he seems like he's banged up. He's 30 plus. You know, this is what we talk about. Like, yeah, it might sound okay to throw him $3 million and throw him on the third line, but don't we constantly say we got to get younger, we got to get faster, and he's neither of those things.
Yeah, I didn't mean $3 million. I meant like less.
No, I'm just but I think someone will throw $3 million at him on like a
okay,
1-year
yeah,
deal.
Then he's gone. Like yeah, yeah then like, I would trade him.
I could see like a Chicago type thing with miles of cap room just being like, here's $4 million, like come play this year. Hopefully you bounce back.
Right.
That's what he should do, honestly.
Yeah, with Palmieri, it's like he was playing so well in the beginning of the season, but now it's just
fell off hard.
I don't know what we'll get for him.
I don't remember the last time he scored a goal, honestly.
It's been a long time.
He was getting bailed out by Nelson not playing well for a while because no one was talking about Palms.
I think we actually said that on the podcast.
I think we did say that, but now Nelson's playing well and it's kind of come to the forefront. Where is Palms?
But also in a way, like now the team's playing well. So people aren't really complaining about him as much because the team's still winning.
Right. He's getting saved a couple different ways.
Exactly.
Okay. Should we move on? Let's go to the green room.
All right. This is a positive green room. So
I love it.
I got a bunch of good team stats and then some individual stats. Again, shout out, Eric Kornick provides a lot of these stats to me as I was getting kind of roasted in the team group chat before, but
Yep,
whatever.
that's okay.
Anyway, so the Islanders currently have the longest active win streak in the NHL. It's 5 in a row. They are 2 games over NHL 500 for the first time all season. And this 5-game winning streak, they're 8-2 in their last 10 games. The 5-game winning streak is the third time under Patrick Roy that they've had a streak of at least 5 straight wins. They actually won 6 straight games twice last season after Patrick Roy took over. And the Islanders actually swept Colorado this year, believe it or not. It's the first time since the 18-19 season that they swept the Colorado Avalanche. It's also the first time that they scored 11 goals in the 2 games against Colorado since December of 1990. And also, I should say, the Islanders have beaten the Avalanche. Hang on, I completely botched that, so whatever. That's my Butch Goring moment. They've scored 11 goals in the 2-game season series with the Avs, and it's the first time since December of 1990 that they've beaten the Avs by at least 3 goals in consecutive games. Which, I mean, was Quebec good before they became Colorado those last couple of years? I don't even know. But whatever. Anyway, the Islanders' penalty kill has actually been pretty good. They've killed 17 of 18 penalties over their last 10 games, which is the best in the NHL over that span. And the Islanders are also guaranteed to have their best January since 2019 when they went 8-2-1. And if they beat the Flyers on Thursday night, it'll be their best January since the fourth Stanley Cup team
Oh,
in
baby.
1983. They went 9-2-1 in January of 83. So the Islanders looking to make some history on Thursday. Then a couple others for the team. Since January 5th, like I said, they're 8-2. Those 8 wins are tied for the NHL lead in that span. The only team that's been better has been Washington. The Islanders have also outscored their opposition 32-19. That 3.2 goals per game is 8th in the league, and the 1.9 goals against trails only Washington again for fewest goals allowed in the league. And then also, this is a completely random stat. That win yesterday put the Islanders 128 games over NHL 500 in their history. It's the first time they've reached that mark since January of 96 when they lost to the Avalanche. And it was actually Patrick Roy who was in goal for that game for the Avalanche. So, kind of a coincidence.
That's a good find.
Yeah, that was like, that one was a Hornick one. So, shout out,
Yep.
Eric. Great find. And then this other weird stat, the Islanders just like don't lose on Saturdays all of a sudden. So, they are 8-0 in their last 31 games on Saturdays. They're 7-13-3 on all other days in their last 31 games. Kind of random. And then also Patrick Roy, now 5-5-3 on challenges this year. He should probably be 6-2, if I'm remembering correctly. But Patrick Roy and his video staff, very, very good on challenges. Now also to the individual stats. Some good streaks. Bo Horvat, 6 straight games to the point. He has also has 8 goals in his last 10 games.
Bo
So
horse
he,
that.
yeah, carrying the team. And also Alex Romanov has now gone back-to-back games scoring a goal, which is the first time in his career he scored in back-to-back games. So shout out to Romanov. And also Scott Perunovic, first game as an Islander. He's also the first Islander trade acquisition to earn a point in his debut since good old Andy Green did back in 2020. So shout out to Scotty. And then Brock Nelson upping his trade value, 11 points in his last 9 games, 5 goals, 6 assists, if they ever decide to trade him. And then probably my personal favorite stat, Ilya Sorokin, three straight starts, four straight appearances with a win, including his 2 minute and 3 second win on Saturday, which has to be some sort of fucking record.
That was crazy.
Oh, true.
Yeah, like literally the easiest win of his career. And then a couple more. Marcus Hogberg, the big hog, has played 332 minutes for the Islanders. He's only allowed 8 goals on 151 shots. That's a 145 goals against and a 947 save percentage. Both the save percentage and goals against are the best in Islander history who has ever played in multiple games. So
That's
shout out
crazy.
to the big hog. And then we'll do two more. Matt Barzal, one assist away from the eighth all time in Islander history. He will tie Pat Flatley when he gets his next assist. And Brock Nelson is the only Islander to have played in every single game since the middle of 2022. He's played in 215 straight games. Kyle Palmieri at 165 is the only other Islander to play in every game since the start of last year. So, yeah.
That Hogberg stat really stands out for not the usual reasons I would say, but think about this for a second. If Perunovic and D'Angelo, let's say they play really well for us, that's some pretty good roster management right there. That's a third string goalie that you picked up for nothing that is off to that start. That's being proactive due to injuries. I got to give Lou credit for that one. And if D'Angelo and Perunovic really spark the group, that's once again just making the right moves when the team needs it. And it just shows that, I just wouldn't be so quick to count him out just yet.
No, and I think for both goalies also, like you can argue that the two of them have been the catalyst for this 10-game stretch where they went 8-2. I mean, Sorokin has a 930 save percentage under 2 goals against average. Hogberg a 946 and a 126 in the last 10 games. I mean, for a team that doesn't score a lot of goals, you have to have good goaltending. Their goaltending has been rock solid for the last, probably even beyond 10 games, probably for the last like month and a half, honestly. But yeah, that's pretty much the stats from the green room. A rare, all positive visit to the green room. So shout out to the Islanders playing well, and we'll see if they keep it up.
All right.
There we
Shoot.
go.
Anything else before we get to Q&A?
Guess not. All right,
Okay.
let's do some Q&A. Again, a lot of questions. Thank you, everybody, for their submitted questions. So let's start with at EJK612. It feels like Gatcombe all of a sudden is playing physical and the team is winning. Maybe he's this year's Fasching and McLean. I just hope Lou doesn't make the same mistake for the third time and pay a hungry AHLer who regresses as soon as he get paid. So what do we think of Hogberg? Is this something that we think could continue the rest of the season and potentially going forward?
Gatcombe, right? Just to
Yep.
clarify, Gatcombe. Jack, go ahead. You had your hand up. You were ready to go.
No, you first.
All right. I really like what we've seen so far, but I think it was a good friend of the show, Tyler Gilden, that said, you know, we got to be a little careful with this guy because it's happened the last 2 years with Fasching, with McLean. And honestly,
Bingo.
McLean's looked a little better. But the one thing with Gatcombe versus someone, and I don't mean this as a slight to Fasching, but versus someone like Fasching, I think Gatcombe's a better skater, which is very big. Fasching was never the fastest guy in the world. Even McLean, he's pretty decent skater too. So obviously, if it's a guy that could skate, I think you could always at least have him as a fill-in fourth line guy if he's not a fixture there. So, I mean, I'm not going crazy jumping up and down like this guy has to be on the roster next year, but it's definitely one of those things that it's nice to see someone come up and potentially grab a roster spot. Because as we've spoken about ad nauseum, how great is it when you could have someone on the roster for 7.75 instead of going out and getting a bottom six free agent for 2-3 mil?
Yeah, for me, I just need to see. I just need to keep seeing it. It's still a pretty small sample size, but I do love the way he plays. He plays so hard, and he has to. I mean, there's definitely some competition to be playing every night right now. I mean, you have Engvall on the side, and obviously they don't want a $3 million player not playing. They also even they still have Martin, and that's kind of like a crazy topic. Like, when was the last time he played? It's been a while,
Good
right?
question.
Is he gonna hit the what was the
Like he needs
has
like
no
40 something
chance.
for 1,000, I think.
No, he
Is
has
this
no
Matt Martin we're
chance.
talking about here?
Yeah.
Yeah, he
How
just
many games he
quietly
played away?
he's played 979, so he's 21 away.
Wow.
I think
Wow.
he played against Vegas a few weeks ago when Sorokin had that shutout.
His last game was the 16th against Philly. So the last time they lost, actually, January
Huh.
16th.
How about
Yeah,
that?
and the only change was made during the win streak is Engvall out for Sipikov, I believe, right? Who was suspended. It wasn't even like he would scratch one game, but
You cannot scratch Sipikov. Like,
it was one game. The one game was fine.
I'm glad we got away with it, but no, not cool. That guy needs to be playing every night. I don't care if we win or lose. Like,
I'm sure he will now.
keep him in. But yeah, I mean, one thing I do want to mention, it's completely off topic. I don't know if anyone asked this question relating to Duclair, but it might be time to shut it down for a little bit. Like, let him rest for the Four Nations. Just let Engvall play, put
It's
Sipikov
bad.
up.
Yeah,
Bitch, he's
he's
hurt.
hurt. He's hurt.
He's hurt. We
He's
know
not going to
he's,
be
yeah.
100% rest of the season. I think we knew
No.
that.
And I think when he was, if we remember when he was coming back, there was some quote, I think it was from Wah, that it was basically like when he's ready to come in, he could come in. Basically, his pain tolerance and how much he could handle dealing with that groin as he plays. And the thing that sucks with him is his game is based so much off skating. So
Yeah.
it's, you feel bad for the guy watching him because I'm waiting for that burst and he just doesn't have it, clearly because of
Yeah.
injury.
Sucks.
Okay,
Yeah, brutal.
next.
Next question. We've gotten a lot of these questions around the same premise, so I'll just kind of sum it up. This is from Sippy at Joe B. Isles. How do we still buy and sell at the same time so we can still make a run?
Rocco, I feel like you've got some ideas.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of ways. You could even we saw with it doesn't have to be exactly like that, but we saw with the Rantanen trade how you could get an extra team involved. If I'm going to use Vancouver as an example because this is the hot topic, EP40. We've been
Yep.
talking about him nonstop. Hypothetically, let's say Vancouver would accept something around Dobson, a Pageau, and a couple picks. If you trade Nelson for a first plus, and then you trade Palmieri for a second, third, whatever the hell he's going to get, you can take those assets, add them to Dobson and other things Vancouver wants, and potentially get a deal done. And that's how you would sell, but also buy. And I think Ethan said it before, and he was spot on. If you do sell and buy, it's very obvious that you have to buy someone that's here for the future. And in my opinion, you also have to buy someone that's a stud. Like you can't buy, again, not a slight at him, but you can't buy a Palmieri type guy. If you're going to buy, shout out Belmont, you got to buy a thoroughbred. You can't buy these in-between guys. I want like a Pettersson or like you can't do JT Miller. You need a Pettersson if you're going to Vancouver. I'm not sure who else would even be out there. It would have to be. Not that this would happen, but a Brady Tkachuk-esque splash. Like you can't do these in between.
I think you're in the wrong Canadian city there, Rocco.
Well, I'm just saying this.
Matt Martin's best friend, Mitchell Marner, isn't
Well,
going to resign.
I don't think he's going to get traded. Even I could see, I still think Marner's going to re-sign, but it's one of those things. Those are the type of guys. It has to be all-star caliber players in their prime. Can't be 30-year-olds. It has to be very specifically the right guy if you're going to do that.
Yeah. And I think those type of trades become more palatable with the cap going up, hopefully significantly
Yes.
next year, because you could still add on the back end if you need to.
And I think, speaking on the cap, I think we're also going to have to get used to seeing some numbers we're not accustomed to,
Yeah.
because I see, like, I was thinking on Ehlers the other day, like, I don't think it's that he's over a point per game right now. He's going to be 28. I don't think it's that ridiculous to a guy like that. Let's say he's the number one free agent on the market. Is it insane to think 10?
10 million?
10 million per? I
I think
don't.
you're low.
You think I'm low at
Yeah.
10? I don't think I'm. I don't. I think he'll hit 10 is what I'm trying to say. If he's like, let's say Rantanen stays, Marner stays, Ehlers is number one, we're going to have to get used to higher numbers. And Jack better be careful with that Dobson thing too, because Dobson might get a higher number because of this.
I didn't
I
think
think
of
just
that
talking
possibility.
we're talking about a point. Well,
Injury prone
I don't
is
know.
why I'm a little timid on well above 10, Ethan.
I think it just depends
Yeah,
how
but
much the cap
listen, if
goes
he
up.
play if he
I heard
yeah,
90.
listen,
What
he
is it
plays
now?
82 games in back-to-back seasons.
Greeny, what is the cap at now? Or
I
like
believe it's at
88?
88.
Isn't it supposed to be 93?
It could even be more than that, actually, since
And
the
I heard
escrow is paid
93 to
off.
95. So if it's 93 to 95, we're gonna like even with Rantanen, like he's gonna get 14, 13, 14. If it was 11,
So
12, he'd still be in Colorado.
right now it's at 88. The first predictor for next year says 92.4. So that would be a about $4.5 million increase.
Right. And I think the rule was they couldn't go up more than 5%, but I think they're modifying that rule a little bit because they paid off the escrow. Is that right, Ethan?
Yeah, I think that's correct. Like I saw projections like 95 plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen 93, 95. I don't know how quickly they could go beyond that, but I saw in like a couple of years it should certainly be 100 plus, which is good for hockey.
Agreed.
100%. All
Okay.
right, next question. This is from at Isles Pulse. Do you think these past two moves have Patrick Roy's handprints all over them? And has he or was he finally given some say on the roster?
I don't think there's a good answer to this, given we're
We'll
talking
never
about
know.
two guys who one was had for a vet minimum and one was traded for a fifth. I don't it, like,
Safe to say Waz happy though. It's probably somewhat the type of
yeah,
player he's wanted.
absolutely. Yeah, like I think they're Patrick Waugh type guys, but I just think for like low, what's the word I'm looking for?
Low risk, high reward.
No, not even just like low profile for too low. No, Tony's not low profile, but I'm talking
Ooh.
just in terms of like his what like the guy
Cap
was in the
hit
fucking
and
KHL.
yeah.
So I in terms of that too low profile players, it's just sort of tough to
Well, let me
judge.
expand on this for a second. So Matt Martin hasn't played in 2.5 weeks. We know Matt Martin was brought in. He's as blue of a guy as you can possibly have. The fact that Matt Martin is not playing anymore, is that Lou, or I should say Patrick Roy, asserting himself more? Is that something we
I
should
think
feel good
this.
about that he's not been playing?
I think so. I think that this is a sign that the both of them are starting to work better together and be more compatible. Just because the second these guys have come over, like Perunovic got acquired like 24, I think maybe even less than 24 hours before a game, and he came in and he played right away. And I feel like conversations had to have happened where Wah was like, yeah. I don't know if I see it with Chalowski. I don't know if I see it with Hutton. Like we need more, and he got it done. I could be completely off, but the fact that they came right into the lineup kind of tells me that Wah was maybe excited from these moves and that maybe they're working together and it's getting a little bit healthier, that relationship from where it was several months ago. I don't care what anyone says. Like there was clearly a rift at some point. It's just so obvious the way Wah was talking in the media. Like it's some things you just don't need inside information on. It's right there in front of you. But I think he's happy with the moves and that they're working together to find these players.
I also think you can't bring on a guy like Tony and not at least consult the coach a little bit because that's like a big thing to do. It's
Agreed.
the PR, everything
Yeah.
around it. So, and as far as Lou and Wah, like, let's be honest, it's a workplace environment. One conversation can fix a lot of things, and maybe that sort of conversation was had and they're on better terms now.
It could literally just be that they're just being adults about it and they're just not going to argue about it, which
Yeah.
would probably be better for everybody.
What a lot of people say they should do, you know, in van, but they don't do it. So
exactly. All right. Next question. A couple more here. This is from our guy, Phil Jewell. What are your predictions for the third Metro spot and the two wildcard spots? I personally don't think the Devils hold on to that third spot for the rest of the season.
I'm assuming he tweeted this before the Devils pummeled Philadelphia 5-0 tonight.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Metro was just bad anyway. But
I think Devils will be in that three for sure. I think Caps, Canes, Devils is the top three no matter what, and then it's a fight for that fourth spot.
You think the Caps are going to hold on to it? Top spot? I do.
Not the top spot, top three. Top three. They're all the three in the top three now will stay in the top three is what I'm saying. In any order. Oh. Carolina, New Jersey, Washington will be the 1-3 seeds in the Metro is what I'm saying.
Agreed.
It could be any order.
I have thoughts on the Capitals unrelated. As you now know from my knowledge on Perunovic, I do watch a lot of other teams play, and I've been watching the Capitals play a lot over these last few weeks. I'm not buying it at all. Like, so, if somehow we snuck into that first round and they were the opponent, it is not over. They are not the Hurricanes. They are getting ridiculous goaltending right now from Logan Thompson. And yeah, that's real. But it's a little bit unsustainable. The numbers he's putting up, they get very timely finishing. It's just the eye test. The eye test does not look like a President's Trophy winning team. So I'm really curious to see where they end. But going back to the question, I looked and I wasn't high on the Devils before the season. And as much as I want to really go and ride that and say, yeah, they're going to fall apart, the cushion is just so big. And if it's not the Devils, can I see the Islanders getting all the way up there to catch them? I can't. It's a pretty wide margin. There's a lot of games in hand, but as we've known over the last few years, you got to win the games in hand. And I just don't see us getting quite up there. I don't think the Rangers have a chance of catching them either. And as for the wild card, it's completely wide open. Phil asked about the wild card also, right?
How do you see it shaking out? Basically, Rangers. How do you see the Metro shaking out? Who would you say? So you think the three are the same as me, Jack? Canes, Devils, and Caps.
As well.
Yeah.
All right. To twist Rangers this question four. A little bit. Four, I agree. Rangers, four. Too
I
much
disagree.
Talent.
I
who's
disagree.
Four? Who's four?
Yeah, I disagree.
All right. Who's four?
It's probably us.
Moron. So you think we make the playoffs over
or
the
Columbus.
Rangers?
I think us or Columbus. The Rangers.
Wait a minute.
I think the elders are going to have to mark this down.
Rangers,
and at game 82.
Rangers getting JT Miller. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Guys.
And then at
There's
game 82, we're going to
There's
say this is
teams.
Why you listen to your elders, because we're going to be right and you guys are going to be wrong.
The Rangers will get JT Miller and get worse.
No, they won't.
They are a wreck, man.
JT Miller will go there and play well for the rest of the season, and then shit might hit the fan. But for the season, he'd be good.
They I just cannot look like believe a broken... I'm agreeing with Jack. I cannot believe this.
They just don't they just look a little bit like a they just their spirit looks broken. It doesn't
Rangers?
Look like they enjoy. Yes, it does not look like they enjoy playing.
Yeah,
because
they're playing like shit, dude.
No,
they've quit.
The
they've
Islanders
quit.
Didn't look that way 2 weeks ago.
They have quit on their coach. The Islanders never look like they quit. They just look like they were bad. The Rangers have actually just given up. Like they have.
I don't think
they've
quit.
They've completely. So. They have. Absolutely.
I would love for you to be right and the Rangers just miss and don't even get a good pick and they're like right on that borderline, but I think they're going to be one of the wild card teams.
I'm trying to mush them out of a top pick. I am trying to get them to win so that it becomes worse, but they're just that bad.
I think we're probably fourth, and I think the playoff race really, if we keep everyone as currently constructed, I think the race comes down to us, Boston. And I think there's a few teams in the mix right now that are just going to go on like a 7-game losing streak. It's just the Canadians, they are so piss poor defensively. You have the who
Jack,
else?
Jack, you really watch
Ottawa.
It. Like when the Islanders say scouts in the building, is it just you?
No, I like watching Montreal play. I really do. Like I enjoy watching other teams. I mean,
who's your guy in Montreal? You have a Den guy in Montreal? Of course. How can I forget Suzuki?
Yeah. He's looking really good this year too, but Suzuki and Caulfield are really fun to watch. But the Red Wings are going to go on a losing streak. I don't think they're very good.
Are they behind us right now?
No, they're in front of us, but they always do
Barely,
this.
right?
They get like
The
a
only t the
crazy
only team
run.
I'm the only team I'm curious about is what Columbus does at the trade deadline.
Yeah,
I
well,
think
that's. Go ahead.
if Columbus actually, I feel
They
like they
should
have a ton
buy.
of cap space. If they have a chance to add a little bit, they could actually
They should
become a
do it.
team that will probably get into the playoffs.
Yeah,
But if
and
they, like, I don't know if they're willing to do that at this stage.
it, I guess it becomes, I think for Columbus, it might be obviously a different scenario, but somewhat similar to the Isles in that if they buy, it should be someone for now and the future, not just like a rental
Correct.
type guy. And as far as Phil's original question about like the top three of the Metro, those teams have such a big cushion. They're all going to be buying. Like it's not a question with them, right? Like the Devils, the Canes, even the Caps, they're all probably going to be buying. So I think that elevates them even more that that's just going to be the top three because there's no, they have enough of a cushion that they could firmly say right now, we're a buyer at the deadline. We're not every team could say that, obviously, like the Blue Jackets,
Brock.
like the Rangers, like the Islanders.
Brock to the Caps.
It's the best, if it's the best offer, it is what it is.
Wait, can we establish this? Are we fine with trading in division, depending on the
Yes.
package?
No
Yes.
Rangers, and then the rest is fine.
Besides the Rangers, yeah.
Yes. I'm not good with
Best
that.
deal. Best
But
deal.
you're not good with the division at all or certain teams.
No, because
Like Jersey would
Jackson's
be
an
a
old
little
man.
weird.
You could trade Palmieri in the division.
See
You don't trade him out.
Jackson Lou's scouting department. That's why he has these
You guys are on
theories.
crack, man. You don't trade him in the division.
Jack,
Okay,
you
yeah,
trade,
tell
they
us
literally traded
the
Gensel. They
Penguins
traded
and
Gensel in
Gensel.
division.
Yeah.
Different. He
What's
they
different
all
about that?
everybody
Gensel's a
knew.
homegrown guy, and he's better
Everybody
than all
knew
these guys.
Gensel wasn't re-signing, and the
And
Penguins
same
were like,
with
all right,
Nelson.
get us a better draft pick.
It could
No,
be the same with
Nelson.
Nelson. Everyone knows Nelson's gone.
Jack, if the best trade offer came from the Devils, or the Capitals, you're not trading him because they play in the Metro?
And they're probably not going to re-sign him. So you have to deal with him there 40 games, not even.
That's true. I didn't think of the extension part. If there's no extension, then sure, I guess.
I
But
mean,
my
you don't
God,
know
I'm.
that going, like they might have, but chances are
Bro,
they
if
won't.
it's if even if there is an extension, if there's an extension in place, that makes me more willing to trade him in
Yeah,
division because he's becoming so washed year over
I was
year.
gonna say,
no, I'm not dealing
yeah.
with the
You don't want to deal with a 40
the
point
Devils want to
player?
give him
Jack, what
six
happened to you,
years.
bro? What happened to
No,
you?
stop
Yeah,
it.
but also
You guys
it's
are talking crazy. If
also keep in
we've
mind, if there was an extension, they would get more as well. So that's another factor in that.
I
True.
want him in the
Hell,
West.
if the
No, I
Rangers
want
want to
him in
give
the
him a
West too.
7-year deal, send him to the Rangers.
No,
Yeah.
definitely not. I don't want
Give me
anyone I will say
near
too, I
Brock. Yeah.
think if Brock does go west, that will be the team I'll be rooting for if the Isles are out. Like
Same.
I'll root for Brock
I would root
for
for Brock.
sure.
I would
Like if
root
he
for
goes to
Brock
the
100%.
Wild, or I could see Winnipeg too. I've been saying that as a fit for him. If he goes to Winnipeg, happily root for Winnipeg.
Anyone but Vegas.
Anyone
Please
west.
God,
But he
anyone but
honestly,
Vegas.
anyone but Vegas, but like Vegas is annoying, but I also just don't care that much. Like they're too
Yeah, I
fake.
feel you on
I don't
Vegas.
know one Vegas fan. Like it wouldn't bother me
Yeah, but
enough.
when dude, if Mark Stone goes on LTIR, then I'm gonna freak out.
Well, they put someone else got hurt. I forget who it was, like a big contract already that you feel like they're setting up
Bunch
for
of
that.
fucking cheaters. We've
I just
learned
don't
that
want. Ethan is all about accountability and integrity this
It's
episode.
crazy.
I just
It's
don't want to ever
crazy.
play any of like these guys, and I don't want to play Nelson in like a playoff series one day. Like
Well, it
that
might
just won't
happen,
work. We're
Jack.
not going to be in the playoffs, Jack, so
You
that
can't
won't be an
predict that.
issue. All right,
All right, let's. We've been recording for forever.
I'm sorry. I need. There are two more questions I have to ask you. I'm
Go ahead.
sorry.
Cool.
Okay, this is from Justin at Justin6913. I'm firmly on the sell train, but it's becoming more likely that Lou holds on to our UFAs. If that is the case and Lou is going to be soft buying, do we have a preference if he soft buys for a chance to win a round instead of standing pat and watching them just get waxed in the first round, even though that probably happens anyway?
No soft
Soft
buys.
buy. Yeah,
No
soft
soft
buy.
buys.
Yeah, soft buy for sure. If we're gonna run back the same group, if he's not gonna trade them, yeah, I'll take the soft buy.
No,
Fuck
so
it.
it's really just soft buy or we don't do anything.
Yeah,
Oh, those
soft
are the
buy.
only options?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be miserable with both, but
Sam.
I guess the
At
soft buy. I
least you got another
guess.
scouting report then.
This is
You
like
know,
choosing
like
two roads and both, it's like a horror house and like off a cliff.
you see, this is exactly why I like the question. We all want him to sell, but if he doesn't sell, he can
Yeah,
either buy a
it's a
little
hard
bit or just not
question.
do anything.
So
Soft
it's buy.
like, yeah.
Perunovic buys, I guess is fine.
Yeah, I think I'm going that route.
Fine.
Ethan?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. All right. Well, whatever. We're going to move on. Last question from our guy, Coach Jeff. You guys knew this was coming. Coach Jeff 24. It's a two-part question. One, the two defensemen that the Islanders picked up are not typical Lou guys. Is someone else pulling the strings? And is there any truth to the rumor? I can't even get this out. That Lou Lamoriello and Jacques Lemaire are the exact same person.
What?
What? I mean, by the judging by the moves,
Huge.
based off who they picked up, maybe Jack's pulling the strings. That's the only person I can think of.
He tweeted a picture of the two of them, and he said, "Are Jacques
They
Lemaire
look
and
alike?
Lou? They look exactly alike."
Yeah, it's
I
a
don't know what
funny
he look. I don't know what
picture.
Lemaire looks like off the top of my
I
head, to
gotta
be
go to the
honest.
Twitter page.
Oh my God.
Oh, yikes.
It,
Yeah,
that could
dude.
be, if you told me that was Chris Lamorello, I'd believe you.
It's an
Right,
amazing
yeah.
picture.
I also thought
Oh,
this is also AI of Garth Snow without any hair.
dude, that could I could
Yeah,
see
you're
that
right.
too. Yeah.
Which would also add up and make sense. That's who's pulling
Correct.
the strings.
So that was kind of a stupid question, but Coach Jeff 24, thank you. I guess the main question are these, is someone else pulling the strings? These guys aren't Lou guys. What do we think?
What do you mean they're not Lou guys?
Like the two guys they got, like Perunovic is a kind of unproven offensive defenseman, smaller guy. Tony D'Angelo is Tony D'Angelo, like.
Who else are they going to get? You know what I mean?
But do we
Slim
really think it's
Pickens.
that where Lou is like that desperate, or is someone else being like, Lou, you gotta go
Yeah, dude,
and
he's that
you
desperate.
gotta
What are
go
his
do this?
options are,
Every
what's his
the whole
face?
right defense is
He could just
basically hurt.
roll out. He could roll out Grant Hutton every single
That's the
night.
thing. Yeah, that's what I'm. Yeah. No. Yeah, he's desperate. But thank God he was desperate because what a breath of fresh air Tony D'Angelo is. Let me tell you.
Absolutely.
There have been more Twitter arguments in Isles Twitter in the last week than there has been in the last 3 months.
Well, you know
Over
what? At
literally
least there's
one
life.
month.
At least there's life
I
with
gotta
Isles
tell you,
Twitter
dude,
now.
the Tony derangement syndrome is out of control. It's a pandemic. I saw Twitter accounts that were blaming him for the puck going off Isaiah George's skate going into the net, which oddly enough
I saw that too.
feels like a little bit racist, but
I was just gonna
whatever.
say.
Yeah.
Are we following Tony D's Twitter account?
The
Yes, I
blue
am.
shirts one
Yeah,
or
yeah, the
the
blue
real
shirts
one?
one.
No,
Oh, that
I
is the
shouldn't
real
follow that
one.
one. Well,
I think that is the real
the
one.
burner or
Wait,
the
what's the
regular
deal with
account.
that burner? Is that
It's
him?
not
That's
actually
him.
him. No,
It
it's
is
not.
that guy. I
No,
read
I'm going to
stuff.
continue to
I read
believe that
through
it's
it.
I think it's the greatest bit in
It's
hockey Twitter
amazing. And it's been
history.
going on for how many
It
years now? Like he was on the Rangers when it started, I
Dude, he was
think.
talking
Yes.
shit to us last year. I went back and looked. I was like, wow, this guy's insane.
He was talking shit to who?
About the Islanders. Like, he was like,
Oh.
oh, we're about to fuck you guys up. Like, this guy acts like D'Angelo is like the best player on that team.
No, I actually think it is his burner account.
I do too, dude.
It could be
It's
like his brother or
because
something.
he
Yeah.
never tweets during the game. That's what people have realized. So that's
It's a
why it's
great
kind of,
bit. He
you
has to.
don't.
If he tweeted during the game, it would be over. It's a running bit.
Yeah.
It would be like
Yeah.
Phil going easy on Sorokin. You know what I mean? It would end everything.
And also shout out to Phil. We'll say shout out to Phil. He actually complimented Sorokin the other night.
He did. But that's
Shout
the
out
end
to
of the bit.
Phil.
That's kind of the end of the bit, though.
It's
No
yeah.
one's enjoying this 5-game streak more than Phil.
That is true.
That
Yeah,
I saw something
Lou.
from Phil that no roster. I think he said no roster is set up better for this run,
No, nothing
which
will
I love. I
fire
mean, I
that man
love
up.
you have
Like,
to. You have to give it to Phil, the confidence. I wish I had that confidence in this team.
it's a
mean, the
great
Jim
time to be an
Gregory
Isles
Award.
fan.
Jim Gregory Award. It's going to be named the Lou Lamoriello Award after this season ends. He's going to win it for the third time, baby.
Okay, can we
Right,
wrap
boys.
up?
Yep.
All righty.
Follow the socials, subscribe. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest again.